reality is to understand what is real. And what is real, so many times, we want to shove under the rug. We want to ignore it. We don't want to deal with it. But the whole thing is it doesn't go away. It ends up catching up with us. You know, the Word of God, would you turn to Revelation chapter 12? The book of Revelation in chapter 12. And in chapter 12, it's kind of like a summary, and it's three-dimensional. Chapter 12 is three-dimensional. But it talks about something very powerful. And in this, it talks about a child who will be born and come into this realm. And the one of the things it says that in verse 4, if you'll look at it, please, and it talks about the tail is Satan and his kingdom. And it says, and his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, those are angels, and threw them to the earth. In other words, when Satan was removed, he was known as Lucifer then. When he was removed from the presence of God, he took a third of the angels with him because he was in charge of a third of the angels. And it says he was known as also the dragon, the serpent. And it says, and the dragon stood before the woman. The woman is known as Israel and also known as Mary. It's also known as the bride of Christ. Like I said, it's three-dimensional. Who was ready to give birth and to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, there's reality in this is that the moment you were born, the enemy has been trying to devour you. That's why there's so many times that we hear, in fact, the Word of God says that if anyone abuses a child, you might as well put a millstone around his neck. You know, in my old family, they used to put a millstone around your shoes. See, God said around the neck, which was, you know, same thing. You throw them in the water and it was over with. But in this, you know, the Lord is telling us that the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom, is trying to kill an individual as soon as they are brought into this world. In fact, for many, before they're brought into this world. Listen, God did not start abortion. And he doesn't approve of abortion. Because every child that he sends into this realm, whether by mistake or whatever, that child is coming into this realm to fulfill a mission. Because he's trying to get as many children into this realm as he can to fulfill a mission. And so in this, many children have, in other words, is they've been born into this realm, things have occurred to them. Some of them had sicknesses. Some of them were, you know, the enemy's been trying to destroy them. As young children, many of them were abused, molested, forsaken, rejected. And in that, it brought an impartation. In fact, that was a trauma. And so many times people don't realize that it brings a curse, even by innocence. God says something very powerful. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, there's three areas of a curse. A curse is inherited through the family line. There's a self-imposed curse. Something that you may do may bring a curse on you. Something you may speak may bring a curse on you. Something you agree with, sexual curse, sin, all of those things bring a curse. Adultery, idolatry, all of these things bring a curse. And then there's a temporary curse. And then in this temporary curse, it's like if you shook somebody's hand, they had a cold or a flu. Well, sickness is a curse, isn't it? But a curse without a cause cannot avail. In other words, it cannot come to full tuition. Has everybody got it? So that as you begin to go through it, then you get healed because your body is a self-healing machine. Would you turn to Jeremiah 17? Even when, so, you know, many times people don't realize that Down syndrome is a result of incest in the family line. Is everybody okay? Somewhere along the family line. Addiction is a curse that comes down the family line. These curses that come down the family line are called inherited curses. So you and I are, we become what we've inherited. And until that's broken off, it continues to go on to our children. When a woman is raped or a man is raped, it brings a curse. even on the innocent person. Does everybody got it? But the person didn't meet it. God didn't look at. God set the rule. That's that. He said you're either blessed or cursed. So the enemy's always trying to get you to fall into a curse. Because a curse allows spirits to access you, even if you're a believer. Is everybody okay? And Jeremiah chapter 17. Is everybody there? In verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Can we speak this together, please? Thus says the Lord, curses the man who what? Trusts in man. And makes flesh his what? Strength. Whose heart departs from the Lord. So what's he doing? He's putting his talents, his abilities, his trust in himself, instead of trusting in God. You know, these are the areas where we must examine ourselves. Who's your trust in? You know, many people worship money. They serve money. They let money dictate their lives instead of allowing money to serve you. In verse 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Why? Because he's blinded. He can't see. Let me tell you something that Satan established. One of the most successful things he established is religion. God never came to bring religion. He came to bring a kingdom. Jesus is not religious. He's a king and a savior. He's God Almighty, created all things. He doesn't have to be religious. And that's all he wanted was offsprings to carry on who he is. He didn't ask for any religion. He didn't ask for denominations or anything else. He asked that we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that we would know him, behold his glory, be filled with the Spirit, and express his character. It says, for they shall be like a shrub in a desert. They shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out in its roots by the river. That river is the Spirit of God. And it will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious. Hello? Shall not be what? Anxious in the year of drought. See, when you're anxious, that means you're not trusting God. And you'll bring a curse on yourself unless you repent for that. Thank God that we can repent through the blood and be washed. But will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit. So what he's saying, when there's a drought going on, when things are dry all around you, how about the economy? You won't be anxious. You'll still produce fruit because of your relationship with him. Because you're not anxious, you don't bring a curse. Now listen, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now God doesn't destroy. What happens is we open the door for the enemy to access us and destroy. Be anxious for nothing, and in all things prayer and supplication, right? Verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I give to every man according to his ways. According to the fruit of his what? Doings. So some people are being blessed more than others because he's giving according to their ways and their doings. What is it? What is he giving more to? Those who are trusting in him more, get more. If you don't trust in him, the enemy has access to you because why? There's a curse there. And we need to expose some curses in our life and get rid of them. First of all, you need to repent for them and get rid of them. A curse is the presence of evil. In 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? I want you to know today that as we are worshiping, Holy Spirit said, add another song. Add another song. And as I was adding the song, you know what I saw? I saw fire burning up people. But they weren't burning up people. They were burning up the evil that was in them. Because some of you thought about, I'm never coming to this place again. How much more worship do I have to do? I'm leaving this. I'm that, you know. This is crazy. I can't do this. That was the demon in you that was crying out because he hates God's presence. You mean I got a demon? You probably have more than one. Don't be offended. Use wisdom and get rid of them. Just because your head doesn't spin and your feet don't turn backwards doesn't mean you don't have a demon. A demon is the presence of evil. And the presence of evil is because there's a curse there. And there's three types of curses: inherited, self-imposed, and temporary. Why do you think he doesn't want you to clap your hands when praise and worship? Why don't you think he doesn't want you to raise your hands? Why don't you think he doesn't want you to praise him out of your mouth? He won't let you. Because he knows God's presence will replace him. That's enough of that. I'm not against you, I'm with you. But you came to know the truth, right? Practicing the truth sets you free. You want to stay miserable and bound? That's up to you. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? It's of the world. Now, lust is associated with defilement. It's associated with desire. It's associated with addiction. A lust is a wants more. It cannot fulfill. That's why in the world, when you have people stalking one another, it's because they lust. See, lust can't let go. Love can. Lust. It's associated with the flesh. It's the desire. That wants to bring... See, lust wants to replace the presence of God. Lust replaces the presence of God because it's a counterfeit of God's presence. But what it does is promotes death, not life. In verse 17, it says, and the world is passing away, and the what? Lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Hello. He who does the will of God abides forever. In Galatians chapter 5, lust. Lust is living under Satan's torment. L-U-S-T. Living under his torment. Why? Because you can't get enough. When you're an addict, you can't get enough. You lust over. When you're in pornography, you can't get enough because you lust over it. You don't have control now. When that demon wants to get fed, he's going to take you right over. You want to say no to it. But you can't. It's actually replacing the presence of God. In Galatians chapter 5, is everybody there? In verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh, the addictions, the desires, the overwhelming sensations, the presence of evil. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. In verse 18, would you read it with me? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is addiction, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything that is fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Now, I want you to understand something. This letter is written to the church. This letter is not written to unbelievers. This letter is written to the church in Galatia. And he said that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they will not make it into heaven. Well, I never heard that before. Well, because you probably never read it. You're going to church, listening to the preacher, but never seeking yourself. Don't believe what the preacher says. Search it out yourself. Hello? But you better believe what this preacher says, let me tell you. Because I searched it out myself. And I'm telling you. But not me. I'm just a messenger. Amen? So the works of the flesh, these works, adultery, fornication, you know, people don't realize that when they break covenant with God, it's over with. You die in that condition, bye-bye. You become a briquette, charcoal briquette. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to understand something very, very important. Over 20 years ago, I had a visit from the Lord, and let me tell you something. I did not believe the Bible. But you know what? One of his first words out of his mouth was, "Guy, my word is true." He told me the Bible was true. He even told me to pick it up and read it. So it's not a man that told me that this word is true. I'm telling you this word is true. But when I was a young child, I was an altar boy. I know it's hard to imagine. I really didn't know God at all. All I did was the rituals. Gave the priest the wine and the water. Took a little myself. You know, I didn't honor anything. I didn't look at it as sanctified, because some of them didn't make it sanctified. It wasn't holy to me at all. Especially when I was told by a priest when I was a young boy that the Bible was nothing but a story. So I didn't want stories. See, I wanted truth. And this has got nothing to do with a priest or anyone else. Anybody could have told me that. But that's what would happen to my life. And so from all that point on, as a young child, I never believed the Bible. When people used to try to tell me, "Why don't you read the Bible?" I think, "What for? What do I want a story for? I want truth." Because it was a man of cloth that I believed, honored, and respected. But as I grew up later in life, I realized that person was more deceived than many people. Is everybody okay? I forgave him. I blessed him. And I moved on. Not that I ever saw him again. But it allows me to share the story, the testimony now. That many people go to places. You know, you go to a church that doesn't pull out the Bible and do Bible studies with you. Don't go. They're not telling you what. They're telling what their experiences of what's going on. Give you two scriptures out of it. Man, we're to be taught. Jesus said, "Come and learn from me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." How are you going to learn if you're not taught? And take notes, because notes don't forget. "Oh, I got it all." You ain't got nothing. Still listening to that lying demon. "Oh, I don't need notes. I'm good enough." No, you're just prideful. Lock the door. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You want to hear the truth, right? I love everybody. I love you. That's why I got to tell you. I got to tell you what truth is. Why? Because I'm going to stand before my Father, and I don't want any blood on my hands. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Woohoo! 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse... Here we go. Let's speak it together. "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle." This is the second one he's writing to them, because they didn't get the first one. "In both which I stir up your pure minds by which of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own" what? "Lusts, defilements, desires, perversion. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." In other words, he's talking about the flood of Noah. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, one day." So we see here, he's telling us that there will be scoffers, and we see many scoffers and mockers now in the world. They mock. They come right out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9. Is everybody there? Would you read this with me? "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, where are they going? Hell. Again, this is a letter that is written to the church of Corinth. And one of the things that the Spirit, in other words, we had to lay a foundation so that you understand something. I want to go back to the arena where the enemy is trying to kill us the moment we're born. One of the things he tries to do is molest us because it brings an impact in an individual's life. And as a child, they don't want to speak about it. First of all, they don't understand it, but they know that something has occurred to them that isn't right, even though they don't understand it. Children that are molested, whether it be by, it could be by a male or a female, doesn't matter, brings a scar in their soul. And the spirit of homosexuality is a spirit. Lesbian is a spirit. Bisexual is a spirit. And once that has been opened in a person's life, that battle continues. Even after they've been saved, until that spirit, even though when they get rid of that spirit tries to come back. And it's something that the body of Christ needs to recognize more. In other words, we don't hate the people, we hate the spirit. And I'm speaking to every bisexual, homosexual, and lesbian. We love you, but I'm telling you, that's not how God created you. That's not how He did not create Adam and Steve. Any common sense can tell us what it is. It's that spirit of lust and perversion that causes another person to want another person that will not produce offspring. That's evil. That's wicked. And by practicing such things, they will not enter the kingdom of God. That's what it says right here. That's what the Word of God says. No homosexual, sodomite. And I'm telling you, that spirit of homosexuality, listen, they call themselves gay. I don't see anything gay about it. I see nothing but torment because they're always trying to prove themselves. But what the expression today is that you and I, as the body of Christ, not only must expose this, but help those in need. Look at it, what you approve of, you'll be judged with also the same way. Let me tell you, my Father doesn't approve of that at all. And I'm seeing churches now beginning to marry gay individuals. So they're promoting hell in their lives. Come on, we need to awaken up here, man. That's not what God created. He did not create two women to produce offspring or two men to produce offspring. That's not God. Come on, that's called common sense. Something's not right. There's a lost spirit, perverse spirit that is there that's causing an individual to desire something ungodly to keep that person away from the true presence of God and never be free. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I am not speaking against anyone involved in these relationships. I'm speaking truth so that you come out of them so you do not die separated from God for the rest of your life. The world is promoting this because the ruler of this world is Satan, and he hates you. And his spirits that have been released are involved in these people to promote lust and perversion. It is a spirit of homosexuality, and it's causing death. We've seen the results of AIDS. We've seen the results of many of mankind being destroyed from it. That is a curse. You are cursed. And the demons of hell, they have access to them. And a curse will bring death. Is everybody okay? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 3, I think. Verse 3, would you read it with me? For this is the will of God. You're what? Sanctification. So if you're involved in same-sex marriage or adultery or fornication or anything to that degree, it's called perverse. It's lust. Is that sanctification? No. No. You die in that condition. You go to hell. But Jesus is my Savior. The word believe means to follow. It's not some magical thing. Oh, I believe. See, if you follow the light, you become light. If you follow darkness, you become darkness. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in what? Passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. They don't know God. So if a believer is doing this, what he's saying is they don't know God. They've turned their back on God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man. So if you reject what I'm saying to you, you're not rejecting me. But you are rejecting God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Again, this is a cry from the heart of God to awaken and come out of it. And the reality that if you've ever been involved in it, that those spirits are going to try and come back and entice you. That's why they promote emotional attachments. These things must be severed and broke from. Romans chapter 1. Again, there isn't anything gay about it. There's no joy at all. It's torment. So the government approves it, doesn't it? So is the government cursed? Is this country cursed? Amen. That's why all of these things are happening. The economy is cursed. Everything is cursed. The only thing that's blessed is the body of Christ. But there are those who proclaim to be Christians that are cursed. I see people post stuff on Facebook and on websites that are perverse, and they're calling themselves Christians. They still have demons. Well, God loves me. He wouldn't, look, and I accepted Jesus. He wouldn't hurt me. He wouldn't do, no, you do it. You send yourself to hell. God doesn't. He's there. He forgives us. His arms are wide open. He just says, come on back, repent. No matter what's happened in your life, I'm here for you. Get up and follow me. Jesus never went to the disciples and said, believe me. He said, follow me. He knew they wouldn't understand everything at first. He said, come on, follow me. You'll get it. You'll get it. Come on, follow me. Get out of that place. And then that religious spirit, which is nothing but fear and pride, keeps people away from the truth. Hallelujah. Where did I say go? Romans? Romans. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. You want the truth, right? In verse 18. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 18. What does it say? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Wow. Who suppress the truth. In other words, they know the truth, but they won't tell you because they want you in control, or they're afraid that you'll leave their denomination. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incredible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, and began to worship saints and people and statues and laws and all of these other things instead of the true God. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. When the word says gave them up, it's because they desired it so much that he let them have it. Did you ever pray for something and regretted it later? Oh, Lord, this is the one I want to marry. Come on, let me have him. Okay. 6 months later, oh, why'd you let me marry him? Hallelujah. Verse 24 again. Therefore God also gave them up. He let them have them. To uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. In other words, the addictions, the desires, the perverse, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who in exchange the truth of God, come on, verse 25, read it with me, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at what happened here. Are you ready? Are you want to go a little further? Look at this. Verse 26. For this reason, God let them have it. What? Up to what? Vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, even receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, which is actually death. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now look at this. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who what? Practice them. So if you approve of those who practice them, you'll be judged just like them. So think about all of these individuals that voted for a politician to promote same-sex marriage. How about abortion? Everyone who voted for them, there's blood on their hands. And when they stand before my Father, they'll be judged on that. That's called reality. James chapter 4. Spirit of homosexuality. It is a spirit. It is a demon. So everybody got it? Spirit of lesbianism, bisexual. It is a spirit. It is a demon, and it keeps a person from going into heaven because they're practicing such things. Now I see many people get freed from them. We have testimonies right in this room that people have practiced such things and no longer desire them because the spirit left them. Now I look at it no different than addiction. Because every demon is addictive. You get rid of it, you don't have the desire. You keep it away. James chapter 4, is everybody in there? James 4. We'll start at verse 1. Is everybody okay? So when a child is molested, that spirit enters that person. Even when they didn't mean it. The devil knows. Do you understand that? When a child is born out of wedlock, it's a bastard curse. And the spirit can enter that child also. Look how many children are being born out of wedlock now. It's called a bastard curse. That's all a parent has to do is repent for it and break it off. Boom, get rid of the spirit and it's over with. But many people don't know those things. See, they don't know the power of the tongue. They don't know the power of the word. They go to church and listen to someone and never do nothing about it. They get their fancy, their tickle on Sunday and go home and go back to right the way they were, never seeking, praying every day, getting filled every day, making contact with the other side where they were, where they came from, thinking everything's going to be okay. Well, it won't be, because it always catches up, because what you sow is what you reap. James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure or your lust for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you don't get it because you ask for it to spend it on your lusts or your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How many of y'all want to be an enemy of God? We'd have to be an idiot. Plum nuts. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the what? Proud, but he gives what? grace to the humble, therefore submit to God, then you'll be able to resist the devil. So if you're not willing to submit to God, how can you resist the devil? You can't. You don't have any weapons or power, and you're not backed by heaven. And then you'll try and do it in your own strength. Then you won't trust God, and you bring a curse on yourself. And the cycle continues. Proverbs 6. Oh, glory. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read it together. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Perverse. Perverseness is sin in the body. Go to Romans 6. It is a spirit. Romans chapter 6. In verse 11. What does it say here? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let what? Sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lust, because lust is sin. It's the presence of evil. It is a spirit. And when that spirit is there entering us, he says, get rid of it. Where there is lust, there is a presence of evil. Where there's a presence of evil, it's called sin. The act of obeying the presence of evil is called transgression. When you commit that act and you get an iniquity, which brings a curse on you and goes down your family line. So there's always a ripple effect of what you and I do. Is everybody okay? Would you turn to Genesis 19? Genesis 19, in verse 1. It says, now two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Anybody ever hear the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? I have a piece of charcoal from there. Yeah, a piece of the land from there. I brought it back when I went to Israel. It's a charcoal piece from Sodom. Nothing grows there now. Nothing's there. It's cooked. So if you want to know if it really happened, it happened. Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, here, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly so that they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now these were angels. And before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. The men did. And they called to Lot. Now I want you to understand that the angels were sent to Lot to get him out of Sodom. Why? Because they were about to destroy the place. Why? Because it was perverse, defiled, full of lesbians, sodomites, homosexuals, and bisexuals. That's all they desired was perversion. Is everybody okay? In verse 5. And they called to Lot. So the house got surrounded by the men there. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. In other words, they wanted to have sex with the men. But these were angels. Because the city was full of perversion. That's why God destroyed the earth with the flood. Because these people were filled with demons. Verse 6. So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. And said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. Because not Lot knew who they were. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Nice father. He knew they wouldn't because they didn't want women. They wanted the men. That's called a spirit of homosexuality. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they came under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. In verse 11, and they struck the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary in trying to find the door. I'm not going to go any further on this. I just want you to understand something, that Sodom and Gomorrah was a place of sodomites, lesbians, and homosexuals. And, you know, I'm going to share with you how this all occurred, because these are demons that were passed on. If you'll turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6. So I am calling out to every homosexual and lesbian that it's not your fault. You've inherited what you are, but it wasn't from God. Somehow it came down your family line through a curse, or you chose to experiment with it one night while you were drunk and you opened the door. Or maybe you were molested or raped and it opened the door. But I'm telling you that there's freedom from it, and you could be free through Christ Jesus, because it's nothing but a spirit. It's no different than addiction and anything else. It's a spirit. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, these sons of God were angels of Satan, saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So Satan, about 200 of Satan's angels, came in the flesh, took on wives, and produced offsprings. And what happened on the earth is everything of their thoughts was evil and wicked, because Satan's kingdom is evil and wicked. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy them all but Noah's sons and his family. And the Lord flooded the earth. The problem that occurred was Noah's, one of his sons, married one of the offsprings. That's why because giants were then. That's why after the flood used to hit Goliath and so forth. And that's why people will read the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, God was always sending out his army to destroy the whole tribes of certain places. The children, the animals, kill them all. Why? Because they were still producing the offsprings. And these spirits, when they died, when these people died, these offsprings, their spirits roamed the earth. And that's where now they're looking for people, because they're a demon, is a disembodied spirit wanting a body. These are spirits of homosexuality, lesbian, perversion. They are perverse, they are full of lust, and they use people to get fed. But see, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You stay in that condition, you die in that condition, you go to hell. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just the way it is. I had a woman tell me one day, well, my son was born that way. No, he wasn't. You believe the world. Why don't you read the Bible and believe the truth? Amen? Oh, glory. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. It grieves my spirit to see so many people deceived. It grieves my spirit. It grieves the Spirit of God to see so many people deceived, bound by the spirit of homosexuality, that perverse, lustful spirit that brings a torment. Torment. And the government approves it. Of course they approve it. They're of the world. God doesn't approve it. Look, here's common sense again. If it can't produce an offspring, something ain't right. And if you're in a fellowship or church that promotes it, get out. Quit being a man pleaser and become a God pleaser. Oh, we love them all. I didn't say I hate the people. I love them. That's why I'm giving this message today. I don't have great joy in having to share things that are exposing in the area, but I have joy to please God. And we must become God-pleasers and not men-pleasers. Time is too short to play games. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Thank you. Romans 13. Glory. In verse 12. Would you read it with me? Let's start at 11. Is everybody there? Verse 11. do this knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day it is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness, and what? Lust. So when you see the word lust, that's addictive, perverse, homosexual, lesbian. It's defilement. Let us not walk, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I got a lot more, but I'm going to close at Matthew 24. Again, I'm pleading with everyone that's committing adultery, that's committing fornication, that's involved in homosexuality, pornography. These are sexually perverse things, and only Jesus Christ can free you. Only Jesus Christ. You can't go to a psychologist. That's all they'll do is medicate you. They don't know how to deal with demons. And then if you read the medication, what is some of the side effects? Suicide. Hello? People go there for psychologists. The only thing they know how to do is to numb you or move things away from the truth. Is everybody okay? See, without the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is the only truth. Everything else is assumption and deception. We get a lot of people coming in our discipleship house and say, yeah, I have bipolar. You know what I tell them? Say bipolar. Because there's no such thing of it. It's just another stinking name the world comes up with. Schizophrenia, bipolar. Those are demons. Those are spirits. And the body of Christ needs to wake up to it. You're dealing with anger and hatred. You got a demon. You don't have control over yourself, then something's got control over you. Matthew 24, verse 36. 36, everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, is the days of Noah here? You betcha. Yeah. Let me tell you something. 2012 started a new age of darkness. They've come out more and more. They don't care no more. You know why? Because they know their time is short. The people don't realize that. They just think, oh, there's freedom now. Now we can get married. Now we can do all of these things. But they have no idea. It's just the demonic forces that are now pushing them out. They don't care anymore. There's no more shame. There's nothing but pure pride, which is evil. Verse 38, come on, read it with me. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and what? Marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. Listen, we are in the days of Noah. We're seeing it all over the world. This country is in a point of no return. It can never recover from its financial debt. We are the generation of the return of the Lord. We are seeing the perverse lustness on TV and every station. We are seeing the compromise of believers all over. One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You can't live that way. We can't live that way. We're to be sanctified unto the Lord, holy, filled with His Spirit and love, exposing what is evil, comforting those who are in need, and be willing to deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow Him. Not as we will, but as He wills. Not as we want, but as He wants. See, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you gave up your life. If you gave your life to Him and you took it back, then you're on your own. If He's truly your Lord and your Savior, you honor Him, you worship Him, you give your life to Him, you look for Him to guide you, you allow Him to establish your steps, and you look to get fed from His throne room. That's why He says man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because His word is now food to me and you. and His presence is now drink. It's time to awaken, time to stand, time to expose, time to battle, and time to get ready. Because the Lord can return at any moment. Are you ready? Are you in place that if He showed up just today, walked in this room, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing to come out of that same-sex marriage, the perversion, the lust, and all the other things, the pornography, and all the other things that defile the temple and prevent a person from going home? Well, we better be willing to do whatever it takes, not just one time, but every day of our life. Amen? Father, we give You all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank You for Your mercies, Your grace, and Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your word that will not return void. And I pray, Lord, everyone that has heard Your message, not my message, Your message, will come to their senses, escape the snare of the enemy, give up their lives to You, and be free from the spirit of lust, perversion, homosexuality, bisexual, and lesbianism. Lord, free Your people as they cry out to You all over the world today, Lord. Hear their cries for freedom, and let Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Now, I want to thank all the listeners and the viewers. And for more teachings and resources, please visit us at theeternallibrary.org. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and heal you and uplift you, because you're a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away, and all things are made new in Christ Jesus.